Yeah, one of them stuck their thumb up the other one's butthole. It might have actually been they both got each other with it.
It's the PWG spot.
It really is. Yeah, but it was just the two of them. And yeah, that was my first Kevin Steen match. And I'm like, wait a second.
This guy
That's a
rules.
hell of a move.
Look what his butthole is doing, man. Imagine what else is in his arsenal.
Guess what else is in his what?
Oh. Well, Scott
His
already mentioned.
arsenal. What?
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo. Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff. The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The fully posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 426 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. My name is Jeff, and sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, what's going on, dude?
Seattle was beautiful.
Bunch of seafood?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, when you're on the water, you kind of have to. It's almost a sin if you don't. But apparently we had just missed the bad weather by about 2 days. They told us it had been raining and in certain parts snowing. So we lucked out big time and we missed all of that and got like high 60s.
Nice.
So yeah, dude, it was perfect weather. Walked along the waterfront, went on the big wheel there at the pier. Like you said, had great seafood and just a great time with the family. And on top of all of that, the main reason we went was dance. Peyton placed second overall with her solo. So as the great Borat would say, great success.
That means it's good. That's
right.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
Means.
Second. And were there a bunch of teams like from across the nation and stuff there? Or?
No. It wasn't anything like that. I think it was local dance schools.
Oh, so she went to Seattle and put all the Seattle kids on check.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. She put him on notice that, hey, there's this kid in California doing big things.
Nice. Nice.
Yes. Be aware.
Well, thank you for the weatherman, Scott Toon.
Yes, absolutely. And this is Scott.
All right. There's some tornadoes and shit going on over here.
Oh, yeah. We went to the, speaking of tornadoes, we went to the Museum of Pop Culture. And while I don't have anything wrestling to report, they did have, and you would have loved this. Obviously, being Seattle, you know, music is a big deal coming out of there. The whole early 90s grunge scene, Nirvana, Soundgarden, what have you. They had a big display of guitars. They had an entire room dedicated to Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
Out front, they had a bronze statue of Chris Cornell.
Oh.
And in the middle of the museum on the, I believe it would have been the third floor? Second floor. There was... What I found out later was a tornado of guitars. To me, it just looked like a big upside down cone of guitars. But it turns out it's a tornado of guitars. It's this huge sculpture made of guitars.
Whoa.
It's incredible.
Did they have like legendary guitars in there? Or was it just
I didn't
tornado
really
guitars?
Yeah, I think they were just for the sculpture.
Okay.
Yeah, they weren't like legendary guitars or anything like that, at least from what I saw. But yeah, dude, the place was awesome. Highly recommend if you're in the Seattle area. Our hotel was right next to the Space Needle too, which is beautiful. But that Museum of Pop Culture, absolutely outstanding, worth your time. I think it was like $35 per person.
Mm-hmm.
And, they had a Coraline exhibit in there. Are you familiar with the movie Coraline?
I am.
Yeah. It's like stop motion puppets animation.
Yep.
So Leica, who does the movies, they've done a couple like that. Box Trolls is one. Coraline is another, but they've done a bunch of movies like that, and they had an exhibit dedicated to that filmmaker. And so we paid an extra $6 a person, and we got to walk through. Now the figure mark in me was loving it because they had the puppets or the figures that they used for the stop motion photography.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it was great, dude. So I was taking pictures left and right of all the caricatures that they had, and they had like all these models that were built. Like they had Coraline's house that was actually used in the movie. It's huge. But yeah, the figure mark in me was just loving it, dude. very, very cool to see. While that isn't like our wheelhouse, we're not here to talk about the movie Coraline and all the stop motion photography, but the work that goes into building those models and those sets is just absolutely incredible.
What are you talking about? We are here to talk about Wallace and Gromit. Let's go.
Let's do this.
I loved Wallace and Gromit. Don't give me that. I did back in the mid-90s. I love that. Speaking of stop motion, I loved Wallace and Gromit.
And I'm sad to report I did not do any international toy spotting while I was in Seattle. The Target that we walked by was closed, unfortunately. So no toy spotting in Seattle.
Ah, damn it. All right. Yeah. I am also sad to report that at 7 o'clock, the Sting Supreme figure went up, and at 7:01, it was sold out.
And it's gone.
So I did not get you a Sting Supreme. Actually, I've got to be honest. I got home from the gym. I started doing stuff. I lost track of time. At 7:03, I got a text message from Rucker, and he's like, goddamn, Sting Supreme figure is already gone. I was like, holy crap, that was fast. And he goes, yeah. And then he texted back. He goes, gone in a minute.
Man.
It was insane, dude.
This wasn't a WWE versus AEW thing at all. This was literally just everybody loves Sting and everybody wanted that figure. So I'm happy that the wrestling figure collectors out there showed out and showed up and sold out Sting in a minute.
And I also have bad news, and everybody will already know this by the time the show drops.
More bad news.
Are you ready for this, Scott?
Nope.
The CM Punk figure for Mattel revealed is delayed until April 7th.
Yeah, that's fine. It's an Elite. It's $25. Yeah, and it's cool. It's made to order. It'll be up for 2 weeks. I mean, what's the rush?
Yeah, but it's delayed till April 7th. So you guys have some time. They'll drop it during Mania and stuff like that.
Yeah, $25, man. It's an Elite, which is what we had talked about it, which is one of those things like, dude, if this is any more than an Elite, they're shooting themselves in the foot. It's not going to sell. But it comes with an extra shirt. It's got a watch accessory. It's the look of him coming back the night of Survivor Series. That's a definite, definite purchase for me. I'm all over that figure.
You guys know where to get our shirts. You guys know all that stuff. April 5th, 4 p.m., City Tap House, located at 2 Logan Square, 100 North 18th Street in Philadelphia. That is where the Fig Life Meetup 3 will be happening. There will be giveaways. We are going to have Michael Canick there from the Major Pod. He will be hanging out with us. Nate Ringskirts, the CEO of Ringskirts, we call him now.
Yes, the CEO of Ringskirts.
The CEO of Ringskirts, Nate. Steves. There will be multiple Steves. Fontas. Yes,
yeah, yell Steve. You'll see like five guys turn around.
There'll be multiple Steves. There's going to be Hovas.
Ah, dude, you had me with that one the other day.
Yes.
You're like, Hova's going to be at the meetup. I'm like, what?
Yeah, dude.
He has risen.
Yes. He texted me last Sunday. I got so stoked, dude. He was like, I saw, what are you doing April 5th, 4 p.m.? He goes, I'm going to be at the meetup. What are you talking about?
Oh, hell yeah. That is awesome. Hell yeah.
So anyways, come one, come all. April 5th, 4 p.m. City Tap House, located at 2 Logan Square, 100 North 18th Street. It's right near WrestleCon. So come one, come all. We want you to hang out a couple hours, then head off to SmackDown. Enjoy your time at SmackDown. Go watch the Hall of Fame. Go do what you want to do and just kind of kick back and relax. Also, Brian Breaker is official. He will be there.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. There's going to be mega power handshakes all over that spot.
Hella docking. Yeah, that's where you do a fist bump, right? And then you cover somebody's hand.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah.
One person does a fist bump and then the other person catches it. It's docking, right?
We call that a deep five.
A deep five. Oh. God damn it, that's hilarious. But April 5th, 4 p.m. there will also be a Major Pod WrestleCon exclusive giveaway. The Macho yep. Man in green will be given away, the Mantar figure, bunch of prizes going on. I am happy to announce that also that Brian from the Legendary Podcast sent over a gift that will be given away. It is a custom Hillbilly Jim that Brian hand painted.
Absolutely beautiful.
Gorgeous looking figure that Brian has done. So that will be given away. So many prizes. We just want you guys to have fun, hang out, drink beer, have pizza on us. So again, City Tap House, located at 2 Logan Square, 100 North 18th Street.
And I saw that Mantar figure in person. And dude, just come on now.
I know, right?
Come on now. It is absolutely fantastic. It's essentially what's going to be released. but this has the COA with it that it's actually an approved sample. Like, it is the Mantar figure pretty much that's going to be coming out to everybody just loose, but with a COA from Sean. So, I mean, whoever wins that thing, you've got a gem on your hands. Like he said, get it graded with the COA and put that thing in a case, and man, don't play with it or I'll punch you.
As we said, it does have some weight to it. There is some,
it's heavy. Yeah,
it is pretty heavy. So, anyways, April 5th, 4 p.m. City Tap House. Also, I did watch the Mattel reveal thing. No, I watched day one. I haven't watched day two yet because we haven't gotten to day two as of this recording. But I got to admit, the Mattel revealed was actually pretty cool.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
They did a really good job on, at least on day one. And day one was like Magic 8 Ball, Monster High, Uno, Little People, He-Man. They did a really good job. I got to give Mattel credit. They really did a good job on this Mattel revealed.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I'm wondering, I don't know if Peyton watched the Monster High one, because I know she's way big into Monster Highs. But she said the Monster High was good, huh?
I was impressed by it. But I mean, like, I don't know who's who from Monster High, you know? But
okay.
They did have, they kind of updated their Magic 8 Balls. And I got to admit, it's really cool. They had a Monster High one. That one sold out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. They had a He-Man and Skeletor one. I don't know if that sold out or not. But anyways, I got to give them credit. I got to give them their flowers. This Mattel revealed as of day one. Haven't hit the WWE stuff yet. But as of day one, it's really good.
Yeah, I'm hoping work isn't as busy tomorrow so that I can watch the WWE one. And if it is busy, I'm just going to have to lock my door. That's all there is to it. Turn off my computer.
Well, apparently it's supposed to be going on around 10:15. So,
oh, that's perfect then. We shouldn't be too busy then.
Okay, perfect.
And if it is busy, like I said, I lock the door, turn off my computer, get on my phone, and put on my kicking boots in case people walk in.
Scott, did you get anything?
No, nothing. I got absolutely nothing.
Damn, I didn't even get to finish swigging my water before you were like, oh, nothing.
No, sorry, I didn't. But you know what's funny though? I had one of those instant eBay regrets the other night. We were in Seattle. And Blade was on TV. And I love Blade. Like, Blade is one of my favorite movie franchises. I still think you're never going to top Wesley Snipes in that role, no matter who you put playing Blade. That's always going to be Wesley Snipes' part. Much like Brandon Lee will always be the Crow, but don't get me started. So I was watching Blade, and I thought back to the 12-inch Marvel. It was like Marvel Select Cinema, something or other. It was beautiful packaging. Anyway, it was from the movie Blade 2, and it was a 12-inch Blade figure. Completely articulated, cloth clothing. It was Sideshow before Sideshow, kind of. Mm-hmm. Not to that level, but, you know, it was an inexpensive Sideshow, I should say. I think when they came out, they were like $50. Anyway, watching Blade, and I'm thinking back to the Blade figure I had, and I'm like, dude, I'd like to have one of those. I think I want it back. So I jump on eBay just to see, and there was one for $50. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty much what I paid for it. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to buy it. And buy it now. Or not buy it now. I bid $50. Boom. And I'm like, oh, wait. What's the shipping?
Oh, no.
$30.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, okay, $30's not bad. Like $80 for this figure, that's not bad because they're usually in like the 100 to 125 range. I'm like, okay, so I'm still ahead, but then the more I'm thinking about it and I'm sitting there longer and longer, I start to get that buyer's remorse. And I'm like, man, I hope I get outbid. So I go to bed and I get up in the morning, and sure enough, there's an outbid notice on my phone. And I'm like, phew, okay.
Dodge that bullet.
Yeah, it's one of those, I think I'll wait to find it at a toy show.
Okay.
For a decent price, one of those kind of things. But then I'm like, I just got that Marvel Legends Blade.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, do I really need a 12-inch Blade figure? I was like, probably not. So, yes, I almost bought something, but didn't get anything. So, there's that.
Okay. I'm glad you got outbid.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Dude, I got in the Hulk Hogan bobblehead from FOCO with the Sports Illustrated.
Oh, yeah.
The one that sold out super quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that in.
Nice.
The cardboard box is beautiful, dude.
The artwork on the box is just...
You know when people put figures on like a spinning stand? I'm going to just put the cardboard box
the
on
box.
Yes. Of course, I'm going to cover up my address.
If these toy manufacturers get smart, dude, they'll just start sending you packages. As you buy things, they're like, just take the item out of the thing. He just wants the box.
Yeah, we want him to show it, but that prick over there is only doing the cardboard box on the spinny wheel deal.
Like what Mattel did to Sergeant Slaughter with his San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. They just sent in the box, no figure inside.
Yeah, Sergeant Slaughter told us that at StocktonCon last year.
He did.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, they just sent me a box.
They're like, you could practice your signature on this.
Speaking of, have you gotten your Heart Foundation yet?
No, but I'm pretty sure I got a shipping notification for it.
Okay.
I have a FedEx box getting delivered on Saturday.
Okay.
I haven't gotten the notification that it shipped, because normally I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a FedEx, and I don't have anything else on order, so I'm pretty sure Heart Foundation are showing up Saturday.
Okay, so here's what I'm contemplating, and you brought up a great idea. We should give away one of the Heart Foundation that I got.
If we get them before Philly.
We should give away one of the boxes at the Fig Life meetup. So here's what I was thinking. I have three. I take two away. I take those two only, and I open them up. Even if I don't get the variant, that third box is for the person whoever wins at the Fig Life meetup three. So it could be a variant.
I don't like that idea at all, for you. I hate that idea, dude.
I hate it too, man. But you know, you know what?
But for the listeners.
For the listeners and for the meetup is such a special occasion every single year.
Wow. You're playing Canadian roulette is what you're doing here, Jeff.
Man, why do you got to pick on Canadians?
No. Well, I could call it. It's not Russian roulette. Got Brett in it, so it's Canadian roulette. You're taking three
of
them.
Well done.
You're taking three boxes, and you're going to take two of them.
Yes.
And the one that's left over is going to the meetup unopened, and the winner can see if they get a chase.
Yep.
Oh, man. I hate every bit of this for you.
You know what's going to happen is I'm going to get the first two and watch they'll be the regular.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be like, oh, shit, what's in that third box?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, the good news is you should have them in hand on Saturday, so you can edit this part out before the show drops.
That's a great call, dude. I love it.
Well, my hope is that either I get, or out of those first two, you get a chase so that it's not on your mind anymore and you can leave this bit in.
Oh, man. Like you said, Canadian roulette, dude.
And then here's your edit marker. Boom, right there. That's your edit marker so that you can take that bit out.
By the way, dude, I know this is a bunch of other toy news and stuff like that, but Street Fighter figures, have you been seeing those?
Oh, yeah, they're awesome.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah, Jada is tearing it up on those Street Fighter figures, man.
I put down the pre-order for M. Bison and Dalsum over on BBTS.
You did?
I did.
Sorry about that.
People are finding them at Target, so if I find them, I can cancel my pre-order and stuff like that. So anyways.
Well, in our little message group on Facebook, somebody had put that they found them at Walmart in Stockton.
Yes. And it was funny because they were like, head out to Stockton. I'm like, I'm not even driving out to Stockton.
You're like, it's an hour and a half.
That's an hour and a half. And that was like rush hour. I ain't driving that.
Right.
Oh, you crazy Travis Fowler. But I did put down the pre-order at BBTS.
Now you're going to have all of them except for the whoever that dude with no shirt is, because I stopped playing really after Street Fighter 3, I think.
Fei Long.
Did you get him?
No.
Okay, good.
He's not part of the original eight.
It's not an OG.
No.
Yeah. Okay, I got you. So that's what you're sticking to. So those are your guidelines.
So I have Ryu, Ken, Chun-Li, M. Bison, and Dalsum. I'm missing Zangief, E. Honda, Guile. Oh, wait. Blanca?
Blanca. Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's nine.
Balrog?
Did I play? I don't remember playing as Balrog. Wait.
The guy that looked like Mike Tyson? He was one of the end bosses, I believe.
Did I play as him? Did he have an eye patch?
No, that was Sagat.
Oh, okay. So maybe I have I need to stick to the original 10.
Yeah, the original Street Fighter 2 roster is what you need to stick to.
I've been saying original 8. No. I've got to go to 10 because that's where I grew up, or that's when we started playing Street Fighter.
Yeah, Vega, Sagat, Balrog, M. Bison, those are your bad guys. Dalsim, Blanca, Guile,
Chun-Li,
E. Honda, those are the guys that are left that you don't have yet.
Okay. All right. So I've got to get five more and then I'm done wrapping this up.
Until you start looking at some of the other names and you're like,
nope.
Oh man, Cammy looks awesome.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
I said original at 8. I thought it was the 8, but I apologize. There's 10. So I got to stick to the original 10.
Maybe it was the original Street Fighter, like Street Fighter number one game that had 8. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't really start playing until 2.
That's when I started playing. So anyways, yeah. sticking to that and that only. So.
And Street Fighter over Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, did you see the Streets of Rage figures?
No, I didn't know they made those.
So there's this little company named Jax Pacific who's making them. They're making Streets
this
of
Rage. This little known company called Jax.
Is making Streets of Rage figures, dude.
Huh.
You didn't see that, huh?
I had no idea.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Is it from the original game and all the sequels or just the original game?
I think it's just the original.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm definitely going to go search those when we're done recording.
They made the dude in the white tank top.
Yeah, of course. Axel. I don't remember his name.
Yeah. Axel Rose, something like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And also, did you see the new Simpsons figures by Jazzwares?
Oh, no. I didn't know Jazzwares was doing Simpsons.
I'm sorry. Not Jazzwares. I think is also Jax.
Oh, Jax is doing Simpsons too?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I said Jazzwares. I got Jazzwares on the brain.
I guess so.
They made the Mario figures, right?
Good question. I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, Simpsons figures are being made and they're going to be put out by Jax.
And that's who got the license.
Yep.
Okay. So, go Jax. Wow. Okay.
Looks like they're going to be putting them out. They look similar so far to Playmates, but we'll wait and see how the figures actually look.
That's awesome. That's a great scale for the Simpsons figures because that allows you to do play sets that aren't outrageously priced mm-hmm. or sized. So good on them. That's a great choice. Dude, I don't know if you know this, but we talked about last week how Asylum still had the Road Warriors and the Series 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Road Warriors are now $90 and the single figures are $40.
Oof.
Yep, on Asylum.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say the last time I checked, the individuals were 25
mm-hmm.
and the Road Warriors were like 50, 48, something like that. But I don't know if there was a run on them because Power Town being out is now people wanting to complete collections that kind of look like that era, kind of like me. I'm thinking they had a run.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Series 1 is pretty much wiped out unless you want to pay pretty much double oof. What they were when they first dropped. That's I mean, don't get me wrong. In my mind, if you're selective about which ones you get, worth every penny. The Road Warriors, to me, are worth the $90. But that's 100% my opinion. I'm a huge Road Warrior mark. I would pay it. Would I pay $40 for a Buff Bagwell? Absolutely not.
So I've been debating on getting Buff to sign his Asylum figure.
Ah, yeah, because he's signing at WrestleCon.
He's signing at WrestleCon. The only bad thing is once I pulled the Buff figure out from the bubble wrap that it was shipped in, it's not that big of a window.
Oh, got it. So you're kind of limited.
You're kind of limited. So I was kind of sitting there and I was like, man, do I really want to have Buff sign this?
Is it the same size as the Road Warriors window?
Same exact size.
You're fine. I just spun around and looked at my Road Warriors real quick. You're fine.
Okay. All right.
It'll look good, dude. It'll look good. It's worth it. Probably pink would be a good color on that one.
I kind of agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I think pink or bright green would look good.
Okay. By the way, Beastie Boys, Sabotage Ultimates, Slayer has Ultimates from Super
Slayer
7.
Ultimates, yep. Here goes that music thing. We were literally having this conversation like a month ago. Yep. That we would love to see Super 7 expand their music universe. And while they're going with properties that were already under their umbrella, i.e. Slayer, Beastie Boys, they're doing Ultimates now. So that is a huge, in my mind, that's a huge step in the right direction, dude. Now, if they were the Beastie Boys from like the Fight for Your Right to Party video, I would have a way harder time saying no. Like that is my era Beastie Boys, is that album. So if it was those Beastie Boys in Ultimates, I would most likely be all over them. I'm passing on the Sabotage ones and really holding out hope for those Motley Crue Shout at the Devil Ultimates.
Yeah.
Because I got in the reactions.
And?
Emoji with heart eyes.
Oh, I thought you were going to use the eggplant emoji like you always do.
Also the eggplant emoji. With the smiley face with heart eyes.
By the way, special guest Sean saw a eggplant emoji pillow and he almost got it for you.
Hold on. Was it this one?
It was that one. It's your favorite emoji, dude.
We already got one, you see.
Well, you usually put 3, so that would Sean would have got you that one. It would have been 2.
I would have been up to 2. But yeah, I'm hoping that Super 7 has a lot of success with it. I really think that they will have a lot of success with the Beastie Boys and Slayer Ultimates. I think those Beastie Boys are just so well done. They look amazing based on the pictures I've seen. And I hope it leads to big sales and more choices of Ultimates in their music line.
And with the Slayer one, it was their logo. It wasn't their like... It wasn't like Kerry King, Kerry King or...
No, it wasn't the band members. It would be like Iron Maiden releasing Eddie.
Eddie. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It would be like Super 7 putting out an Eddie Iron Maiden figure. Yeah. This was like that Slayer beast looking thing. It wasn't, yeah, like you said, Kerry King or Tom Araya, none of those guys.
All right. We got to get into this news real quick. Jump Shot Dog, they had the Ichiban Hogan and regular Hogan. If you pre-ordered that, be expecting that soon. That just is hitting their shop right now.
Yep. They're coming.
And so is Hogan with Bubba's wife.
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
What? That happened. I cannot.
Yeah, there's video proof.
I don't have to say allegedly on that one, dude.
Yeah. Nope.
Okay.
Sharing is caring.
March 27th, Jazzwares Vault ROH figures. MSRP was $34.99. What is going to be on the Jazzwares Vault? The Malachi Black Supreme figure. This one will not be $34.99. Supreme figure will be up on the vault. I have been waiting for that one. I am going to get it. I cannot wait for it because it has all the bells and whistles, beautiful packaging. And I got to say that, man, Jazzwares has really been crushing it on their packaging.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. They have. Yes.
Between their Blood and Guts line.
Yep.
Between, yep. Let's just say, the Acclaim set on Ringside.
The Danhausen set.
This Malachi. Their packaging team over at Jazzwares is doing a phenomenal job.
They really are.
Some of the figures need to be touched up, though. And we've had this discussion before. They're missing. They're not hitting on those figures. And I can't put my finger on it. And I say that, and I love their Supreme figures. But there's something about their regular figures, like Unmatched and Unrivaled.
Unrivaled. Mm-hmm.
That I'm just like, okay.
They're not doing anything for you.
It's not doing much over here, you know? So I think I'm going to just stick to their Supreme figures.
That's kind of what we've done with WWE, right? We pretty much only buy Ultimate Editions now.
And
Elites are only far and few between.
Elites are few and far between. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's like a legend or something like that, then of course we're in on it. But yeah, we've kind of really honed our focus in on the Ultimate Editions. Same with AEW on the Supremes. Like, I'm definitely getting that Sting. But these ROH figures for me, the Kenny Omega, the Claudio, those are easy passes for me. Kenny Omega. Jeff, do you remember the old TV show Greatest American Hero?
Refresh my memory. It sounds familiar.
He was basically like a doofus, but then he found like a costume and it was like a red jumpsuit and it had a black cape. Doesn't ring any bells? Okay.
I remember the name. I'm drawing a blank on the show itself.
Just type it into Google, Greatest American Hero.
Okay.
And you'll see the lead character's picture.
Uh-huh.
It is that Kenny Omega figure.
From the ROH line?
Yes. 100% look at the face and then look at Greatest American Hero's face. It is that guy. Like, if people are looking for a head for their Greatest American Hero action figure, look no further.
Well, to be honest, that is the Kenny Omega that you saw the very first time you saw Ring of Honor in Arizona.
In 2010.
And who did he faced Kevin Owens, right?
Yeah.
That was a badass match.
Yeah. One of them stuck their thumb up the other one's butthole. It might have actually been they both got each other with it.
It's the PWG spot.
It really is. Yeah, but it was just the two of them. And yeah, that was my first Kevin Steen match. And I'm like, wait a second.
This guy rules.
That's a hell of a move.
Look what his butthole is doing, man. Imagine what else is in his arsenal.
Guess what else is in his what?
Oh. Well, Scott
his
already
arsenal. Meant- what?
Well, as Scott said, the ROH line, Claudio Castagnoli, he'll have the Swiss scarf, a microphone. Kenny Omega will have extra hands and heads. They will be having the Young Bucks and also American Dragon Bryan Danielson. He will have his red robe. I was in on most of these until I saw the price point of 35, and then I just stick to the American Dragon.
Oh, so you're skipping the Young Bucks too, huh?
I wasn't impressed by him. The photos I saw.
Okay.
Not hitting. Again, packaging looks great for the Ring of Honor line. figures just...
Yep, and you've got to hit home runs on those if you want to move product before they do the big reveal for the Briscoes, right? Because, you know, everybody and their mother is going to be in on the Briscoe figures. No doubt about that, but I think these really needed to be home runs in order for them to move them and not have people saying, ah, I'm just going to save my money for the Briscoes. Because guess what? Like you, Jeff, I saw the pictures and I'm like, ah, I'm going to save my money for the Briscoes.
Yeah. Well, I'll get the Danielson, but the rest of them, because like I thought the Claudio looked good. Kenny having that look is cool. I was going to get the Young Bucks just because it's the Young Bucks, but then I just saw $35 and had to skip past. So anyways.
Yeah. I wonder what the Briscoes packaging is going to be like, if it's going to be anywhere near what that Aleister Black packaging is.
No, I don't think it'll be like that. It'll be more like the Ring of Honor line. I'll send it to you because I've already seen pictures of it.
Of the packaging too? Oh, no, nice.
The figures, but I have of the packaging.
Oh, perfect. Okay. I'm just thinking ahead to conventions when Mark Briscoe might be there and can do like a whole thing. If there's a nice big window on the front, that I think would be pretty badass.
So that is this upcoming week, Jazzwares Vault, ROH, and Malachi Black Supreme figures. All right, we're going to head over to Mattel. I already talked about the CM Punk figure being pushed back to April 7th. So there's that. Did I miss anything else, Scott?
I don't think that you did.
Somebody did send a picture of the, I think it was on Steve Ozer's Instagram story, but don't quote me on that. The Dominic Mysterio from Elite Series 109.
Okay.
It's badass.
Is
it
really?
He's got the handkerchief over the mouth and the flannel shirt. It's badass.
Are you getting it?
TBD, Scott, TBD.
It sold out right away on BBTS.
Did it really?
It did. Yeah, Dom's over, brother.
Oh, yeah, he is. Big time.
Oh, and I'm proud to report on BBTS as well. Cody, Sammy, and KO all sold out of their Ultimate Editions.
Yeah, I missed out on that. That's my bad. I think it's still available on Entertainment Earth, though.
It might be. I haven't checked that one. It usually is, though. Usually if BBTS sells out, I can sometimes jump over to Entertainment Earth and they've still got them.
Yeah.
But yeah, completely gone on BBTS.
All right, Scott. First question came in from Person a Gamer.
I think they like to play video games.
P-E-R-S-O-N-A Gamer.
Persona Gamer.
Person a Gamer said.
Person a Gamer, yes.
With RVD coming in the Monday Night War set, does it mean we could see more ECW in the line? I just don't associate him with either WCW or WWF during that time and was wondering about the decision to include him in the line. Steve said he'll get to continue to appear in our line. The ECW invasion was an important part to the Monday Night Wars to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And it can be argued helped set the stage for WWE embracing attitude, quote unquote.
They jumped the barricade. Absolutely. He's right.
ECW's existence and its talent absolutely played a huge role in both companies at the time. RVD's attire, date, and story are on packaging if you want to dive deeper to those appearances.
Perfect. That's awesome. I love it. Yeah, bring on more ECW for the Monday Night Wars. Steve is absolutely correct.
Next question came from Bigger Better Bladder. Steve,
I feel you, brother. Those 2, 4, and 6 a.m. wake-up calls. They suck.
They do suck. So I'm going to just wear a diaper to bed now. No, I'm just kidding.
Samesies.
No, it's bigger, Jesus Christ.
Where?
Bigger, better, batter. He said, Steve, I remember a few months back, you and Bill spoke of a figure, forthcoming news seemed imminent, coming out that would complement Bruno Sammartino. It was some Q&A asking about pre-80s legends getting made. What happened? Steve said, just hasn't been, and he put in capitalization, revealed yet. So the WWE
would compliment Bruno? David Sammartino.
God damn it, no. Jesus H. Christ, Scott Toon. God damn it. By the way, he capitalized revealed, so what's going on right now with the Mattel Creations thing?
Yeah.
So we might get a name tomorrow. Who knows?
Somebody that would compliment Bruno, so you've got to think a well-known opponent, or maybe Zabisco? Somebody that took his title. Oh, Zabisco.
Maybe.
That's a good call, dude. It could be.
It would not be Zabisco's first figure with Mattel, but...
It would not. No, but... Huh. Interesting. Can they do the they can't do the AWA titles, can they?
No.
They don't have the rights to those.
I don't believe so. They've never done them. But I mean, who would they put them on before? Because the Rick Martel figure was the model. They've never done a Bach. Right. They've never did a Bullwinkle.
A Bullwinkle, right.
By the way, did you see this pictures Nate put out?
No, I missed it.
Oh, it was Nick Bockwinkle, but it had the Bullwinkle horns. And he was standing there like this with the AWA title. I'll send you the picture. It's hella funny.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Yeah, they haven't really done a ton of AWA talent that would have had a title. Mm-hmm. So, okay. It could be Zbyszko. Man, do you think Ivan Koloff? Too deep of a dive, maybe?
No, I don't think they would go Ivan.
Stasiak?
I'm thinking Zbyszko. We'll see.
Zbyszko makes a lot of sense.
By the time this comes out, we'll already know, so...
Yeah, but it's fun to play this game because we don't know yet. It's kind of fun to play the guessing game, and then people are going to listen to the show and be like, they are so smart.
Wow. Well, they listen to us every week and go, wow, those guys are ultimately dumb, dude. I mean, like, some things they're smart on, but man, those guys are dumb. So, especially that prick that always wears a ball cap and is a Bills fan anyways. All right, that was Steve's answer. Just hasn't been revealed yet. Next question comes in from Team Madness. He said, figures that have been canceled, such as Ultimate Edition Macho Man, Ultimate Edition Double J, Legend Sting, if you were to get access to those again, would those get inserted into a lineup somewhere quickly, or would they get pushed to the back of the line? Steve says, it depends on the circumstances, but my preference would be to include them ASAP.
More Macho Man figures, please.
Macho Man's in the new game, dude.
I was scrolling back looking at our pictures from WrestleMania last year on our trip, and then the pictures from the Mattel reveal at Access, and I saw the picture of that WrestleMania 7 Macho, and oh man, like, it was one of those kind of things that's like too soon, because then you look at it and you're like, oh man, like I'm looking at the figure live last year, and now I'm looking at a picture of it this year. And I was thinking last year, oh man, I can't wait to get that in the box and crack it open and put it in the Detolf, pose it some kind of way. And this year I'm just saddled with sadness that unfortunately Macho Man is no longer available to Mattel. And every bit of that sucks, but I'm holding out hope that WrestleMania has a big reveal that includes Macho Man.
He's in the video game, so I'm thinking that there may be something that he's back in the family. But I'm fingers crossed.
I hope so, too. What do you think about Wyndham and Rotundo?
I thought they were a good tag team. I mean, like, US Express has always been up there as one of the better tag teams. I mean...
Yeah, thanks, smart guy. What do you think about them getting figures?
Oh, I would love them to get figures.
But if they can get made, do you think that Mattel would be in a hurry to release figures of them specifically as the US Express? I'm not talking like the Stalker or IRS. I'm talking specifically the US Express. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, dude.
It's that gray area. Would we buy them? Absolutely. But
oh, 100%. Yeah.
There's the rest of the world that we have to worry about. I don't know, man. I don't think they would.
Really?
Because where would you put them? The Coliseum collection, they never got LJNs.
You'd have to show them as a pair and then put them into alternating Elite Series, I think.
You know what you could do, technically? You could make them into retros and release a 4-pack of them two and the Dream Team.
Okay.
You know, because the Dream Team beat them for the tag titles.
No. Not at WrestleMania, they didn't.
No. But Spivey, no, sorry, not Spivey, Wyndham and Rotundo won them back. After WrestleMania 1.
Yes.
And then lost him to the Dream Team. I mean, technically, you could do that. That would make sense.
Yeah.
But as far as Elites, I don't know if those would move, man.
I don't even know if the Retros would move, to be honest with you. I mean, yes, for us, of course, we're like, yes, give us the figures. But then you start to think of Mattel, how what their mindset is. Like, are those too deep of a dive? I don't know, man. For me, I would want them, but then I don't know if they would move.
I don't know if they would move either.
They might make sense in the Legends series.
Yeah, they definitely would.
And I would actually, like I had mentioned, maybe sprinkling them into two different Elite sets. Mm-hmm. If they did them in the Legends line, you put them in the same series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I'm thinking, maybe that doesn't work. Oh, and I had an idea for the next Coliseum collection.
Yes.
After the Hart Foundation.
Yes.
Sheik and Volkov, dude.
Why not?
Yeah, and Sheik in his Iran pants. Volkov with the red USSR sweater, removable hat. Sheik with removable headdress. Print your own money at that point.
Or what if you do Big John Studd and Andre the Giant?
But we've had a Legends Elite of Studd within the last year.
True.
And we've had an Ultimate of Andre within the last year.
True.
Now, granted, it wasn't Blue Trunks dumpster fire face Andre. It was heel from WrestleMania 3 Andre, but still.
Which, by the way, is still not the worst Andre ever. Thank you, Migo.
I don't know, Migo or Super 7, dude?
Migo.
The Migo was...
Dude, that one was $4 and I didn't even buy it, dude. That thing was so disgusting. That's one of those mommy can I go out and kill tonight type figures that Chad Horror Movie Barbecue puts out.
Yeah, if you want to scare the children real bad, you just sit that thing in a corner when they sleep.
So back to US Express, I don't know if figures would move with them, dude. Honestly,
that's my concern too.
Yeah,
and that isn't that bad. Two-time tag team champions, and we're like Hall of Famers, and we're like,
it's on that cusp of golden era.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And yeah, it's at the kickoff.
It is like everybody remembers Sheik and Volkov, but for some reason the US Express is kind of like a
glossed over.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, Sheik and Volkov and then Dream Team.
Exactly.
But wait a second. There were champions in there before and in the middle. Like, you can't make that jump. Everybody forgets US Express.
Yep.
And they had Real American before Hogan did. I mean, they have credentials, but like, as far as making figures that everybody would want,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Maybe they make sense in one of those sets of four Elite Legends, and you just put Wyndham and Rotundo in there and
give them the tag titles.
Oh, 100%. The tarnished tags. Yes.
Yep.
100%.
All right, Scott. Next question comes in from Firebreaker Chip.
Calm down, Shannon.
Oh, his name is Chip. Just Chip.
Just Chip. Okay.
He asked one more retail question for you, Steve. What about Survivor Series British Bulldog Wave with Lawler, HBK, etc.? Do you know if any retailers have ordered it? Steve said Survivor Series Elites are under the PLE assortment, so I can't really tell if any more will go out to replenish PLE pegs or if newer product will be shipped instead. Next question comes in from the Hitman 101. He said, when will the Walmart pre-orders process be fixed? And if it cannot be fixed, then is removing all exclusives from them being seriously considered? No way would they ever consider doing that.
Absolutely not.
Here, let's take away our biggest moneymaker.
Right. Yeah. Let's piss off the biggest retailer.
Legacy pack pre-orders are now being canceled for many who ordered on day one.
I mean, I get the frustration, but you're not going to tell Walmart to go F itself,
you're
right?
Preaching the choir over here, 101.
100%. Yeah.
There's just no excuse for that. No superstar pre-orders have been fulfilled. Yep.
Yep.
Agree with you, Hitman. Sure do.
Yeah, he's throwing facts, but I mean, Mattel's back's against the wall.
Or in some cases, even offered since Series 2, other than two figures, Hogan and Piper, from Series 6 and 7. I know they are a big retailer, but if they cannot provide at least average or above average customer service, then let them carry the core line and allow the retailers with the required level of distribution and customer service. Target, Ringside, MC. Who's
Mattel
MC?
Creations?
Oh, Mattel Creations. Thank you. Goddamn acronyms. Spell it out, goddamn.
Spell it out.
It seems like many customers, including a lot of international customers who in many cases have no other avenue to exclusives other than pre-orders, are being let down by Walmart, and it's time to address the issue. Steve said, I'm hopeful we turn the page starting today. And this was back on March 15th. So this was back when they did the, help me out, Scott. It was the Monday Night Wars thing, I think.
Okay, got it.
So this is when the question came in. Now, J-Man, tag team champions, kind of followed up on that. J-Man said, just piggybacking off this, what changed? If this is true, we are all beyond happy about it. Steve said, a lot of behind the scenes conversations and hard work. Your feedback never fell on deaf ears.
Good.
You know what? I'm gonna be the spokesperson on this one. I think this was all on me. I was the champion. I was the person leading the forefront of this fight. I'm glad my voice was heard to Walmart execs. Some dude.
Walmart, it felt great when I kicked your leg out from under your leg.
I am a 2-time slammy champion.
I'd like to thank nobody but myself.
No, this was a glaring hole. This is something that needed to be fixed, and this should have been fixed a long time ago. And why did these conversations behind the scenes have to happen in 2024? This should have been addressed back in 2019, 2018.
Yeah, we poke fun and we joke about it, but it's nothing to joke about when you're the biggest retailer out there, brick and mortar, and you can't fulfill pre-orders and you're canceling them left and right to where you become a joke and you're the biggest retailer out there. That's not a good look, dude, at all.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, I would see a Walmart pre-order and I'm like, yeah, that's cute. You know, yeah,
that's the way everybody got.
I was like, you know what? I'll just find it in stores, hopefully.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
I'm pinning my hopes on finding them in the stores.
You literally said it last week when I asked if you could look for the sting for me.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, yeah, okay, that's cute.
Yeah, it was sold out in a minute, though. It didn't even matter, but...
Well, that's a whole different story, but, like, yeah, they became a joke.
Yeah, it just got so frustrating. So, anyways,
right.
I'm glad things have gotten fixed. I'm hoping that it is rectified. So, good on Mattel and good on Walmart to just kind of sit down and hammer some details out.
Absolutely, yes.
So... That is it for the news, Scott. We've got Jack Series 4 up next, the Bad Boy Series.
Let's talk about it.
We're going back in time for nostalgia. We're going back in time, nostalgia.
Before we get into Jack Series 4, aka the Bad Boy Series, we want everybody to head on over to WrestlingFigureDatabase.com. Over there, you can find almost every figure ever made over at WrestlingFigureDatabase.com. But what we want you to do this week is head on over to the WWF section. Go to Jax, go to Bone Crunching Series. Scroll down all the way till you see Series 4. I think it's on page 2, if I'm not mistaken. But head on over there. You can follow along as Scott reads off this list. Again, that's all over at the Dylan Created Wrestling Figure Database.com. All right, Scott, what you got for Jack Series 4?
You can also search Bad Boys and this pops up.
Oh.
That's what I did.
That's a lot easier than what I just said.
So if you'd like to read along, WrestlingFigureDatabase.com, type in Bad Boys in the search, hit enter, and boom. You'll have the list in front of you as I read along Jack's Bone Crunchers Series 4 Bad Boys. First up, Farouk. He was in his Nation of Domination gear, had a non-removable hat. Hunter Hearst Helmsley. You may know him now as the great Triple H. Black tights with red on the inside leg. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Jerry Lawler. Black singlet top, red tights. And he was packaged with a removable crown. Justin Hawk Bradshaw, non-removable brown vest and chaps. He had on red trunks and he came with a black hat accessory. And finally, Vader, who was essentially a re-release. And that rounds out Series 4 Bad Boys, Bone Crunchers.
All right, Scott. Do you want to tell the story again of the Stone Cold figure of the series?
When this series came out, I want to say it was right around summer of 97. If I'm not mistaken, we're talking April, May, June, somewhere in there of 97.
It was summer, yeah.
And obviously, Stone Cold is the hottest thing in wrestling. There is nothing greater in the world of wrestling next to the NWO than Stone Cold Steve Austin. And as soon as they announced Series 4 was going to have a Stone Cold figure in it, every wrestling fan in the world was like, we've got to get our hands on that figure. So, of course, what that meant for us, Jeff, was daily wake-ups, calling Hayward Toys R Us, and then just showing up anyway.
Yep.
Regardless of what they said, we're like, maybe they're getting in a truck, we're just going to go. Well, as luck would have it, one day we jumped in the car with Big Dave, we head over to Toys R Us, and it is stock day. And they literally, for aisles and aisles, had pallets and pallets filled with boxes and boxes of toys. So we did our due diligence. We put on our reading glasses and up and down the aisles we went hunting for Jack's Series 4 Bone Crunchers Bad Boys. And as luck would have it, over by the board games, there rested a pallet with this magical box on it. Not one, but two. Jeff, you and I stood guard.
No, Dave stood guard.
Oh, thank you. That's right. Yeah, Dave and you stood guard.
Yep.
As I busted out my little Leatherman tool and carved up the plastic that was around it, yanked this box out, cut open the tape, opened it up ever so carefully, and pulled out all four Stone Cold Steve Austin figures for the three of us. And then we are taking one to our good friend Nate over at Caesar's Chicken down the road. And we couldn't have been happier to have our hands on Stone Cold Steve Austin. We did get the rest of the set.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. Not our hands on Stone Cold Steve Austin. The figure of...
Well, yes, the figure of Stone Cold.
Not the physical human being having our hands on him.
No. We did not throw hams with Stone Cold Steve Austin. That was not happening.
Hey, throwing hams, I told you, is, you know, that's actually kind of cool, man.
It's a delicious pastime activity.
Yeah.
Throwing hams.
Anyways, go ahead.
So we did get the whole set. Obviously, I was buying every single figure at this point. I had a job. I got paid. I didn't care. So I'm buying the whole set. And I'm also buying four Stone Colds. And we left Toys R Us. And just the ride in the car was just gushing over the Stone Cold figure. Mm-hmm. And you go back and you look at it now and you're like, wow, there have been so many better Stone Cold figures. But I don't have a story about one of them except for this one. Mm-hmm. This one, every time I see it, it brings back that memory at Toys R Us and just walking in on stock day, seeing the boxes and going, guys, I think it's our day. I think we're getting Stone Cold today. And sure enough, going down that one aisle, seeing that box, Jack Series 4 Bone Cruncher, boom, out it came. I had guards. It was a whole thing. I had knives. Boxes were being opened and Stone Colds were getting got.
It's one of those memories that you have of finding figures. You're like, how many moments of collecting figures do you have that made you just like gasp? Yes. Like that? I tell the Hardy Boys story. We tell the first time we ever saw Hasbro's. There's times where you gasp and you're like, like that. This was one of those times.
For sure.
And this was one of those moments where we didn't want anybody else to get to this case. So Dave stood on one side of you and I stood on the other to make sure that nobody was coming up and down the aisle.
Yeah, because hams were going to get thrown.
I know. We were going to throw this delicious lunch meat at their faces.
Yeah, we weren't just watching out for employees.
Yeah.
It was like other customers we were watching out for too.
But Dave's standing on one side, I'm on the other. I remember hearing you say, there he is. And you grabbed him right away. And I also remember that the boxes weren't in the same aisle as the wrestling figures.
No, they weren't. They were over by the board games.
Yeah, that was so random.
Yeah, we're talking six or seven aisles down the road.
Yeah, and it was like left out. It wasn't even like up on a shelf or anything. It was just on the ground.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, wait, here they are. Like, we didn't even think of location, but now thinking back, it's like, what the hell were they doing over there?
Yeah, I don't know if they were hiding them because, you know, 1997, people were hunting action figures. If it wasn't starting lineup, it was Spawn. If it wasn't Spawn, it was wrestling. If it wasn't wrestling, it was starting line. Like, you name it. Like, guys were hunting toys back in the day. And there was a lot of competition. You know, every day you had guys lining up at the door at Toys R Us. This particular instance, I think we found them like early afternoon.
Yeah, it was.
It was like after lunch.
Yeah, because you were off of work that day. Dave was off. He came out.
Yeah.
And I was on summer break, so of high school. So yeah, still to this day, dude, one of the most memorable moments.
Well, like I said, nothing in the wrestling world outside of the NWO was bigger than Stone Cold Steve Austin. And this was the figure that you had to have.
Yeah.
If you were any kind of wrestling fan who happened to have figures in their collection, this was the figure that you had to have. And on this day, we lucked out.
On this day, we saw clearly.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Metalingus. Metal. Is that the song's name? Metalingus? Edge's theme?
That's who sings the song.
Oh, that's the thing.
No. Oh. No, that is the song. Metalingus.
Oh, it is Cunnilingus.
No.
Oh, it's not that?
It's not Cunnilingus. No, it's Metalingus.
Oh, you remember the SNL skit with the Cunnilingus?
No.
Oh, it's pretty good. Check it out.
What's cunnilingus?
All right, we got some eBay prices to go over in this. We'll start off with Farouk. Last sold eBay listing was March 17th for $5 on one bid. See, these are the prices on Bone Crunchers that I expect.
Yeah.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley, last sold eBay listing. Now, mind you, all these are mint on card, of course. Last sold eBay listing, February 18th. Seller wanted $15, but accepted another offer of $11. And I found that out because of 130point.com. Everybody, 130point.com. That's where you can go find the old eBay listings. I've answered that question quite a few times.
What is it again, Jeff?
One, the number one, the number three, and zero spelled out. No, I'm just kidding. Zero, the number zero, point.com.
Okay, not a capital O, but a zero.
A zero, yes.
Got it.
Yeah, in the upper right-hand part of your keyboard.
But what if I want to find old eBay listings?
Then you would need to get your rotary phone and call Popcorn.
Oh, Popcorn. Okay.
Popcorn will tell you.
Okay, got it. And do I want to, is it a zero or a capital O?
It's zero.
Popcorn. It's zero. Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
It's zero. Yep, no problem. Anything for you, brother.
Thank you.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, last sold eBay listing March 10th for $2.25 on four bids.
After that amazing story we tell of finding him, how glorious it was. The heavens parted, the light shone down upon this case, and we partook of four Stone Colds. And today, if we had kept him in the package, we could have sold him for $2.25.
24 years later, dude.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit, dude. 24 years later.
It no, actually... 27 years later.
27. I apologize. 27 years later.
27 years later.
Dude, we lost money on this figure, dude.
I paid more back then than he's worth now.
A Bone Crunchers, what? $5.99, $6.99 back then?
Something, yeah. Yeah, something like that.
So whoever sold this lost $4.
$4.
Unless they bought it for a dollar at like a flea market or something. But
man, I'd want to get this figure signed just for the story. Just because of what that means to me every time I would see it on the wall.
Jerry Lawler with the crown, last sold eBay listing January 15th for $19.95. Justin Hawk Bradshaw, last sold eBay listing was February 3rd. Seller wanted $19.50, but accepted another offer of $15. And Vader, last sold eBay listing March 2nd for $12.99.
Man, every figure went for more than Stone Cold.
I know, right?
Every single one of them.
But you know how that Stone Cold was plentiful, though, right?
And plus, yes, correct.
And plus, over 27 years, look how many Stone Cold figures we've gotten since then.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
You know,
literally a boatload.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you kind of got to figure that may happen. I mean, this was okay. There might have been another Stone Cold before this. I can't remember the timing.
Oh, you're talking about the Playmates one? The little Playmates figure?
Was there a Playmates? I mean, was Just Toys Bendems out before this one? Was
oh, good question.
I can't remember the timing. I can't remember the timing of it. I know they didn't do a Ringmaster, but they, you know, maybe there was an offshoot.
They had the one with white boots.
Yes. Now,
but
I
don't know the timing on that one when that one came out versus this one.
Was that one before the Bad Boys? So
right, because I think the Playmates figure came out a few months after this one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and when did Just Toys Bendems come out? When did that one? Was that 90?
Dude, I don't remember. And now that I'm thinking about it, Playmates might have actually been the year before. That might have been summer of 96 when the Playmates came out, or
was
shortly
it?
Thereafter.
Was it?
Maybe it was 97. See, I'm all confused now. I get my years mixed up.
Oh, crap. Now I'm starting to get confused.
Well, this was the beginning of the saturation of Stone Cold figures on the market.
Correct.
Because once this one came out, the floodgates opened. Jax could not pump out Stone Cold figures fast enough.
Yeah.
That this literally opened up the floodgate. So in this particular scale of figure, it was his first. And I can't even begin to count how many offshoot Stone Colds came out that were in like weird brands that were still Bone Crunchers but different series names. Like what would you guess within the first 3-4 years of Stone Cold figures?
Oh my god, dude.
But okay, over the course of Jax, right, if this was 97, Jack stopped in 2009. So call it 12, almost 13 years of figures of Stone Cold. How many do you think we got out of them, including all the random repaints and crap?
There's got to be somebody that has a checklist or a counter out there of how many Stone Cold Jacks figures we got.
Over or under 200.
Are you talking about even just different lines and stuff throughout the different?
Yes, I'm talking every repaint imaginable.
Yeah, I'll say under 200, but
over or under 125.
I would say under.
Under 125?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's somebody got to have a counter or something out there.
I've got to say, I've got to think it's close to that 125 mark. If you include every single repaint, every oddball Stone Cold, I'm talking Maximum Sweat, the 12-inch talker, everything Stone Cold. I'm saying you've got to be right around 125.
Scott, that rounds out the Jack's Bone Cruncher series for Bad Boy series. Next
Jeff,
up,
have you seen Haku laughing at the Shockmaster incident?
Oh, God, dude. Him laugh. That's one of those contagious laughs that it just.
Yes. My stomach hurt by the time he was done. Oh, dude, that, like, if you want just something that is just going to make you laugh and it's like a good hearty laugh, there's no ill will intended. It's just somebody having a good laugh. Go check that out. Haku watching Shockmaster's fumble. And he drops a few F bombs in there, but he says that he F up the gimmick. Going back, I can't, every time it comes across my reels, I have to watch it. I can't not watch it. It watching him belly laugh and having a good hearty laugh at what has become one of the most iconic wrestling moments of all time, watching Haku chuckle at that, it just makes my day every single time, dude. So that's just a quick smile for everyone out there thinking of Haku laughing.
I don't know why, but I've been stuck on Airsoft lately on YouTube. I have no interest
good
in
stuff, dude.
I have no interest in playing Airsoft.
But it's super interesting, right?
I am so fascinated by it.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, you watch it too?
I did for a minute.
Oh, dude, I don't know why, but I'm like fascinated by it. And I have no interest in going out and buying Airsoft equipment or anything like that.
Yeah, I'd be that fat kid running out in the open. Like, oh, Lord, help me. Like, don't shoot. Don't shoot. Like,
No headshot. No headshot.
Yeah. I shouldn't have had that humongous roast beef sandwich before I came out here playing Airsoft. Like, that would be me. And then you watch these guys that are essentially like ex-military just like plugging away. They're just so good.
Oh, dude. These guys like get all geared up too. Like, there are guys that are blending in with their environment and stuff. Yes. Like that.
Yeah, they're like Rambo.
Yeah, like I would have eaten like a roast beef sandwich and then, hey, where's the porta potty? And then I get freaking snipe there. Hit. Let me pinch off. Hit.
Hit.
Let me pinch off. I got to go respawn.
Yeah, no, Airsoft is awesome, dude. Like you, I have zero interest in playing.
Yeah.
All those running around days are well behind me. But yeah, it is kind of cool to watch.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know why I got hooked on that. But Scott, we do have a listener segment. What do you say we get into Justin Summers' question?
Let's go talk to him.
Hello, Scott and Jeff. This is once again Justin Summers with my monthly question. Last month, Kiss celebrated the 50th anniversary of their debut album. Scott, didn't you just celebrate your 50th anniversary of your debut day? Anyways, so we've talked about Kiss a few times before. I want to know what your top three Kiss songs are. For me, I could easily go with three songs off Destroyer, but I'm going to make it a little harder for myself and only pick one song from an album. So in no particular order, I got to put Beth on here. As I've become more of a Kiss fan, I feel like I'm not as much of a fan of it, but still, I think it is an underrated thing that made them even bigger. Like, I think when a lot of people list songs, they don't necessarily list Beth, but it's pretty good. My next pick will have to be off the Hotter Than Hell album, and that's Going Blind. There's something about that song that just relaxes me. It was a song that I don't think stood out on some of my original listens of Kiss albums or even just some of the big Kiss songs. But a few years ago, it really connected with me. And lastly, of the three, I gotta go Love Gun. There's something about that song that is so good. It's like, yes, I know he's talking about his penis, but it's easily one of their greatest songs at the same time. And some days I like it better than Rock and Roll All Night and Detroit Rock City. Like, I think those are the two like real staple Kiss songs. But Love Gun's a good one too. All right, that's my top three Kiss songs. Can't wait to hear what you guys have, and talk to you guys next month. Later.
All right, mine is Psycho Circus.
Stop.
I'm going to go God Gave Rock and Roll to You.
You better stop it, dude.
What?
You're being ridiculous.
These are legendary Kiss songs, dude.
I hate you so much right now. You better stop. I'll have you thrown out of here.
What did I do? What did I say?
You know what you did and what you said.
What's that song where he goes, "That bitch bent over and I forgot my name"?
Okay, Domino's good.
Domino.
I will accept Domino. Yes.
All right.
I will accept Domino.
I saved myself.
You did. You totally brought it home. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Justin, for your question. Scott, what are your top three favorite Kiss songs? That is actually funny where you said you also celebrated your debut.
I did. Yeah. I'm kind of attached at the hip with Kiss, right? So to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Justin, to be fair, a lot of Kiss songs are about Paul Stanley's peen. So it's honestly hard to pick three that don't involve that. So to only do one, I think you did really well, my friend. Top three for me, Black Diamond will forever be my favorite Kiss song.
Okay.
Second, kind of a shocker, maybe, Tears Are Falling.
Oh, good song.
Off of Asylum. That just, to me, it, much like Going Blind for Justin, kind of puts him in a mood, a good place. For me, Tears Are Falling, I've always loved that song, and it's one that over the years, like 80s Kiss doesn't really get a lot of love, and it should. Over the years has really become a staple in my playlist and has become one of my favorite Kiss songs. So I'm going to put that one number two. And for number three, I would be remiss if I didn't include Forever, which was mine and Shannon's wedding song. So there you go. That's Black Diamond, Tears Are Falling, and Forever.
Okay. I haven't listened to Kiss in a long time. I don't know why.
Shame on you.
I know. That's my bad. I don't have any streaming service for music. I pay enough in streaming service.
Oh, why are you kidding me?
What?
Dude, come on now.
Dude, you know how much I pay in streaming service for TV, dude? I'm overpaying.
Have you tried Spotify?
Yeah. What about it?
Pay for it.
I don't want to.
Dude, it's worth every penny. I have the family plan because Alana uses it. Peyton uses it. I use it. Shannon uses it. I literally use it every single day, every single minute I'm at work. Earphone is in. Spotify is going. You can play full albums. It's not like Pandora was in the past where you have to like mix it up. And like, you can play full albums, dude. You can full through a full discography. Discography? Through an entire catalog of an artist.
Person A gamer.
Not Person A gamer.
Oh. No.
Incorrect. I suggest Spotify.
I don't want to pay for anything else, dude.
It's worth every penny. Believe me, it's worth every single penny.
I would have to put God of Thunder on there. And
in what position?
That's probably number three.
Number three? Okay, so you're going bottom up.
Actually, you know what? I'm not even just rank. I'm going to just throw three
three Kiss songs. Okay.
So I'm going to say God of Thunder. And the only reason for that is when we saw him at the San Jose Arena.
Yeah.
And see Gene get lifted up.
Yeah.
And we were at the very tip top row of the upper deck, and we were looking straight at Gene.
And he does the whole fire blowing thing before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to put God of Thunder just for the memories of that song.
Okay. I like it.
Lick It Up is really good.
Oh, that's super strong, dude. Yeah.
All right. I'll put Lick It Up in there. And New York Groove, a Kiss song?
Technically, yes. It was on Ace's solo album, though, so it's not a group effort per se. But technically, it was the album had the logo Kiss on it. So if you want to get super technical, you could call New York Groove a Kiss song, but it's more of an Ace Frehley solo album song. So there's kind of an asterisk, if you will, on your pick.
All right, I'll put New York Groove on there.
You could do Shock Me if you want to go Ace. Like, if you're like, I have to shoehorn an Ace song in here, you could go Shock Me.
No.
New York Groove?
Yeah.
That's my favorite Ace song, for the record.
Wait, what about that song they played on South Park during the...
That was Paul Stanley, Live to Win.
Does that count as a Kiss song?
It does not. That album did not have Kiss anywhere on the covers. So.
Oh, that song.
Except in the thank yous.
That song gets me pumped up to play World of Warcraft.
Now I know you're full of shit because you don't play World of Warcraft.
Oh.
When he's handing over the USB stick and he's dying.
One of the
That's
best...
my favorite South Park episode.
Oh, that and Guitar Hero.
That one and the one where they buy the ninja stars. Or the ninja swords. And, yeah.
Where they throw the ninja star and it gets stuck in Butter's eye.
Butter's eye. There are some strong offerings, but I think that World of Warcraft. And then you add Paul Stanley into the mix because he had the song for that episode. Like,
oh, dude.
That is my all-time favorite.
Oh, the best part was when Cartman called his mom. He's all, "Mom, bathroom." And then she brings down like,
bucket.
She comes down with like a thing that Stone Cold hit Vince McMahon with.
Yeah.
The part of the little poop
pan,
bucket.
The bedpan.
Bedpan. Yeah, that's what it was. And he just craps everywhere because all he's been eating is, all he's been drinking is energy drinks and Hot Pockets.
In the Hot Pockets, yeah.
You know what? Those guys from South Park, man, they are geniuses.
They're coming up on 30 years now too, right?
They're fantastic.
97?
Yep. They're fantastic. They are complete geniuses, even with the stuff that they've come out with outside of South Park. I mean, the Book of Mormon, if you're Mormon, sorry, but that was one of the funniest freaking plays I've ever seen in my life, if not the best play I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. How many plays have you seen in your life? Come on, let's be fair.
One, the Book of Mormon. It was fantastic.
So it's
it
the
my
best.
Favorite of all time, dude.
Speaking like you're a man of culture. Stop it. Stop it.
Basketball. Basketball is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, it's outrageously
South,
good, dude.
South Park, the movie. Orgasmo. They did Orgasmo. That was fantastic. I mean, just everything they put their hands on, dude, is just amazing and fantastic.
One, so. As quickly as they can hammer out the animations these days, too, they can stay topical.
Mm-hmm.
Like stuff that's happening right now, they can put out an episode in 2 weeks, you know, or a week.
That blew my mind back in the day. Do you remember that? What was that kid's name? Elian Gonzalez? Remember that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, when they yanked him out of the home and yeah.
Yeah. 2 weeks later, they had a cartoon with that situation on there.
Right, because they can hammer out that animation so quickly, they're like, boom, let's just do an episode.
It blew my mind how quickly they did that. That was just amazing. So, anyways, all right.
Yeah.
This ain't the South Park fully posable wrestling figure podcast.
It is not. But Justin, thank you for the question, man. That was awesome.
Paul Stanley led to a South Park thing.
Yeah. God, see, that's how it starts.
Oh, damn it. All right. Justin, thank you, man. Love you, dude. Scott, last question of the week comes in from Josh Thompson. Hey, Jeff and Scott, JT here, back with that bi-weekly question. First off, boys, I want to thank you guys for the kind words about my review on Boss Fight's MLW figures. I like to try and do reviews of Boss Fight and other smaller wrestling figure lines to get them some attention, as I do believe some of them out there do deserve it, along with some praise.
100% agree.
Speaking of praising things, Scott, I know you've done a lot of praising of the Popeye's chicken sandwich on the show and how it's
Popeye's last night. That's great. I literally had Popeye's for dinner last night.
JT knew, dude.
It was like he sensed it.
I know you've done a lot of praising of the Popeye's chicken sandwich on the show and how it's the best chicken sandwich out there. But what about chicken wraps, chicken tacos, or any other meal out there that involves chicken being in a soft or hard tortilla shell? Boys, what's a chicken wrap taco or any other chicken in a tortilla shell meal that you'd personally praise or at most have for a meal or snack? Two come to mind for me. One, the pizza place by me sells some good wraps, on which I like is the chicken Caesar wrap, which has lettuce, Caesar dressing, and chicken all wrapped into a yummy meal. Two, Wendy's grilled chicken wrap. I know Wendy's is known for their burgers, but I think they deserve some praise for chicken ranch wrap, which is becoming my go-to when I go there. I kind of wish it wasn't so expensive. On one hand, the meal with fries and a drink satisfies my cravings. On the other hand, I really want to get two of the dang thing with large fries, even if I'm at risk for a toot toot and poop poop all day for doing so. You know what, man? It's the protein, dude. See, when you're on a high protein diet, the protein farts just kind of rancid. So be expecting the toot toot and the poop poop, you know? So anyways.
You're like the Madden of food.
I need to tell
you. You put the protein here and back here, you got the poop poot and root root and toot toot.
See, you see right here, JT's dropping a deuce into this toilet right here. Here's the bidet circled over here.
You see, here's his tummy circled here. Here's the toilet way over here.
It's gonna be close if JT can get to the toilet from over here to over there, because he's got the toot toot and the poop poop going, you know.
And this little marker here is the turtle head poking out the back door. He's got to be careful of him.
He's prairie dogging it over to the toilet.
You got to know your angles to get from here to there.
Scott, chicken meals. You talk about chicken sandwiches all the time. I will go first. One chicken meal that I always look forward to is chicken wings. I love chicken wings. Give me a good chicken wing, man. I'm going to be happy as a clam. I'll sit there for hours and eat a bunch of chicken wings. I make some good chicken wings.
So you're being a self mark for your wings.
Hell yeah, I am, dude.
Sometimes you got to pat yourself on the back, dude.
You know what? I will.
Good.
I will definitely pat myself on the back for these wings. But overall, like chicken wings in general, outside of Wingstop, we've already talked about it, trash. Chicken wings, I'm a sucker for.
Okay. Taco Bell, they're doing a Cantina chicken taco now. They have like a whole chicken menu that they have released literally just this week. So they've added a bunch of chicken items on there. The only one that I can vouch for, and I will sing high praises, is the Cantina chicken crispy taco.
Oh.
Outstanding.
Really?
Very good. Yeah. So I raved earlier this month about the Crispinata.
Right.
Which I believe is being replaced by their whatever their new monthly gimmick is going to be. But the Cantina chicken taco is going to stay on the menu for a while, and outstanding. It actually comes with an avocado verde salsa in a Taco Bell packet, but you only get one with the taco.
Oh.
And it's got a little bit of a zip to it. Shannon enjoyed it. We had Taco Bell kind of late, so if I had eaten it, that would have been Heartburn City, and I don't want that. But yeah, so if I'm going chicken right now, it's going to be the Cantina chicken taco at Taco Bell. Highly recommended. If the Crispinata is not on the menu, that sucks. If it is, I recommend getting one of those to go with it.
Underrated, and I know you're going to laugh at this, grilled chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A. I love their grilled nuggets at Chick-fil-A.
It's not that I don't like it. I'll eat it. I just feel, and this is 100% my opinion. That's kind of, it goes in lockstep with wrestling figures, right? It's all subjective. It's what each person likes. And to me, just Chick-fil-A is overrated, dude. Like, there are so many better places to go to than Chick-fil-A for our good chicken.
Yeah, it's definitely
so many better places.
There are other places to go for chicken.
Pollo Loco.
Oh, El Pollo Loco is really
good. Pollo Loco's bomb, dude.
I love El Pollo Loco. They're starting to get a little bit pricey though. I know.
Yeah, they used to have some killer deals, but yeah, they're getting kind of expensive.
Exactly. Like,
I mean, everything is, but you can see
exactly
them starting to.
Exactly. Like you were talking about Carl's Jr. the other day and pricing themselves out.
Stupid. Yeah.
And El Pollo Loco starting to kind of get into that same realm.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're getting expensive. But I mean, it's, you know, it's not like you're eating it every day. When you have it, man, you super enjoy it.
Oh, God. I love El Pollo Loco. So good.
Now I'm hungry. Damn it. I want some dinner now.
Well, you got to go pick up the kids. So
perfect timing.
Perfect timing. And it's a perfect time to round out the show. I do want to say April 5th, 4 p.m. Be there. There's going to be some great giveaways. We want everybody to have a good time, though, most importantly, and just kind of relax after WrestleCon and before SmackDown.
Jeff, I'm thinking name tags.
How many people are going to just put penises on their name?
If that's how you want people to greet you, like, what's up, dick?
Stick figures and with dicks and stuff. It's going to be like super bad, dude. I just can't stop drawing penises.
Bunch of Seths running around.
Right.
Yeah, I'm thinking name tags. Like you said, there's going to be, so if you have the same name as somebody else, for example, Steve, there's going to be like multiple, maybe like a last name initial would help, or Steve. Like your Twitter handle. You could write your Twitter handle on there if you want, but I'm thinking name tags would be helpful.
Steve Fonta, Steve Hoker, Steve Kern. All right. We'll do name tags. Where do we get
name tags?
Where do we get name tags at?
Amazon, dude.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Maybe they'll have like WWE name tags. Like, ooh, a little picture of like John Cena on there.
All right. I'll look into those.
And I'm thinking like a reverse Royal Rumble for picking the winners. When you show up, write your name on a paper, throw it into a hat, and for all of the gifts and giveaways and awards, whatever we're going to be doing, the name comes out and you don't get to win anything else. Like one prize per person.
However, see what you think about this. I agree with that. But I think everybody that shows up should be entered into the giveaway for Sean.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So even if you, but one prize per person though, dude.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But like a lot of people are going to want that one of one. A lot of people are going to want the Macho Man. So like,
well, yeah, but that's, you throw your name in the hat and it's,
you know who the judge is? Ring Skirts. We got to have Ring Skirts make the decision. He's the voice of reason.
Yeah. Or we have like, we draw two names out for the Sean Ng giveaway and they have to participate in trivia.
Or Rochambeau.
Or, oh, Rochambeau. Yeah.
That would be hella funny.
That'd be great. Let's see who wants it bad enough.
First
we'll play
guy.
Like 80s, 80s theme music. We'll play like something from Rocky, like You're the Best Around, while they kick each other in the balls repeatedly.
First guy kicks the second guy in the balls. He goes, I didn't even want it. And he walks away.
Yeah, I don't even like toys.
I just stumbled in here.
Yeah, I came for free pizza, you marks. He's out holding up deuces.
Second guy's like writhing in vain, you know?
Yeah, pissing blood, but holding his mantar because he's so happy.
Anyways, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But yes, we do. I think name tags would probably be best.
Yeah, I'm thinking name tags.
So April 5th, 4 p.m. Come one, come all. All right. Check out our good friends over at the WrestlingToyTracker.com. Over there, they have the card and loose prices of LJNs, Galoobs, Hasbros, Just Toys, Bendems, Defining Moments, and Retros. They've got the three-month average, and make sure you're getting a fair market value on those figures. Again, that's WrestlingToyTracker.com. All right, time to head over to our podcasting buddies. We got the Rumble Wheel with the Maximum Sweat Man himself, Daniel Cross, and Philadelphia-bound Brian Breaker.
Can't wait.
Also, check out the TB ToyCast and Scott's. Guess what we talked about this past week?
Silverhawks.
Good guess, but no.
Mask.
Close, but no.
Stretch Armstrong.
Getting closer.
The WWF Stretch Armstrongs.
No.
The $6 million man toys.
Dude, you were like so close.
Man, I'm trying to be stupid too. Okay, I give up. What?
We just talked about Mego.
Oh, dude, I was right in the ballpark. Because
you were
those
right
were made
there.
By Mego.
Exactly.
Okay, okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was Mego, the Kiss figures I destroyed, right?
That is correct.
Okay, yeah, those were it. All right. I told that story. It was hella funny. It's so fun recreating that story, just talking about it.
The worst part is you've never tried to make it better.
I did. I looked at the figures back in 2000 when I got my new job and they were too expensive.
Oh, now, 24 years ago.
Yeah. And now they're even more expensive. And I was like, shit, maybe I should have purchased them back in 2000.
I should have got them in 2000 when I had a chance. Oh, well, let's tell the story 18 more times.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, one day we'll have a podcast and I'll tell this story 15 times.
It was great when I found that toy train that you clobbered me in the head with.
So good. So good.
It's in the garage too.
Yeah. I don't even know if you had a concussion, but like we didn't even know what concussions were, but it would have been hella funny. You're 5 years old and have a concussion or seven.
Yeah. Mom and dad didn't get me tested either. They're like, hey, he's still getting fine grades.
Yeah. Throw some
like,
mud.
He's good. He's
throw
good.
Throw some mud on it.
Yeah. Go walk it off, kid.
Yeah. Those stars you're seeing, they'll go away eventually. Yeah. But anyways, yes, we did talk about Mego over at the TB ToyCast. We talked about those. We talked about some of the rare ones. Actually, if you do a search on YouTube, there's actually a video that pops up from 6 years ago, unfortunately. But there is a video that pops up and they talk about some rare ones that are worth some money.
Is it the Batman and Robin with removable masks?
There was a Batman and Robin one, but I can't remember exactly which one it was. The one that I really found interesting, there was two I found really interesting. I guess there was a character named Isis. And I was like, holy crap, that doesn't fly.
Oh, Wonder Woman.
Oh, is that her?
I believe from the Wonder Woman line.
Okay. Well, I was like, holy crap, that doesn't fly today. But they made a Mego figure of her, and I guess it was rare. So-
well, because you're dealing with a female property, right? And these were primarily marketed as boys' toys. And so when it came to the female figures, as we all knew growing up in the 70s and the 80s, primarily the 80s, even into the 90s, women's or female figures weren't released in the same quantities that the boys' figures were. So then at some point, the female figures started to gain in value and popularity. I mean, that's not an issue now. They're all released in pretty much equal numbers. But back in the 70s, 80s, and early part of the 90s, that wasn't the case. Female figures were few and far between. Prime example of that is Wonder Woman in the Superpowers line. She was near impossible to find.
Was she?
Yeah. Mom had a hell of a time finding her for me. Because I wanted all of them. I didn't care. You know, I'll take a female. I had a Wonder Woman figure. I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I had her in Mego line, too. I didn't care. I had Catwoman. It didn't mean anything to me as just another villain, you know, or just another hero in my collection. I was good with it. But yeah, they weren't released in the same volume that the quote unquote boys figures were.
The other one that I found super interesting is I guess they put out a Spider-Man figure and it had a different design logo on the chest plate. So it was more of a circular Spider-Man logo.
Oh, okay.
And I guess the creators of Spider-Man, I'd have to go back and watch the video again, but I guess the creators of Spider-Man or some of the whoever handled the property didn't like that design. Well, some of those actually made it out to market.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so that one is worth a couple of dollars. So anyways, I recommend everybody just go onto YouTube, type in Mego Toys, do a search, and that video is the first one that pops up. I recommend everybody go on and watch it. It was really interesting.
Yeah, Migos were awesome. They were definitely, for that day and age, they were definitely playable. They had all the cool properties. And I think ultimately it was not getting Star Wars that did them in. But as far as like superheroes, as far as Kiss, I mean, they had 12-inch figures. They had 8-inch figures. They were just super articulated cloth clothing. They were just so, so awesome to have and play with as a kid.
Yep. But yes, Breaker and I talked about that on the TB Toycast. Also, check out the Positively Pro Wrestling podcast with Steve and Eric. Check out the Stolen Gimmicks podcast. They talked about the new WWE game. I think they liked it.
Okay. Yeah, you piqued my interest because it's kind of been on my list, but I haven't picked it up yet.
You should. And Macho Man's in the game.
Which we've talked about, but did they give it a glowing review?
They gave it a good review. They didn't give it a glowing, but they gave it a positive review.
Okay. Okay.
Check out In the Marbles Pod with Soda and Ethan. Also, the Legendary Wrestling Figure podcast with Brian. Brian, thank you again for sending over the custom and the custom that will be given away at the Fig Life Meetup 3. Work the Arm podcast with Jeff and Jamie. Pod Subject to Change with Nick Dunham and his two kids discussing wrestling from all eras. I also want to give a quick shout out to the 3 Points of Articulation podcast. They are some great guys over there. They were actually ones that said that they would buy some of our figures if Sean Ng were to put them out.
We're getting some pretty positive feedback on those.
That's scary, dude. I'm like clamming up.
I mean, we could distribute them. Just ship them, split the shipments in half, send half to you, half to me.
I'm
scared. Send them all to your house and I'll go over on a Saturday. We'll sign them all and ship them out.
I'm scared. I don't think it's worth the production costs.
I don't know, man. We're getting some good feedback from people that they'd buy a set. Send them out signed. I don't know, man. People might be interested. Let us know. I mean, this is becoming kind of a possibility. So if that's something you guys really want, I mean, give us a heads up. Let us know. We'll send them out signed.
Scared still.
I'm scared.
Also, check out Trivia with Buds with Ryan Buds, Chick Foley Show with Seth, Sheena, and Marco. They are doing some good stuff over there. Love listening to those guys. Love you guys over there. RJ at Ringside Rant, Rucker and EJ doing Boots of the Face. Tim's pulling up a chair with the Fig Life. Marty and Sarah love wrestling. And Scott, I apologize. Do you have a drunk wrestling history this week?
Good question. I probably should have asked Eddie about that.
Perfect.
Yeah, actually, we recorded some stuff last week. And it might be a Sting episode.
I think you guys do have a show this week. I just don't know what it would be.
Hold on. Let me check my phone. Let me go through my text messages with Eddie. But give me like 10 minutes because there's a lot of text messages to go through.
Okay. Also, Jason Wolf is on a hiatus of taking commissions. His commissions are not open right now. He is dealing with some injuries, stuff like that. So be patient with him. No commissions are open with Jason Wolf. But when those commissions open, you can best rest assured that we are going to be right there asking for some stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We plug Jason every single week. Now, as Jeff mentioned, not the time to do that because he is dealing with an injury, but no doubt in my mind, he'll be rocking and rolling soon, and we'll be lined up at his door with commissions waiting for him. And Jeff, to answer your question, yes, there is a drunk wrestling history. It is about Sting, basically talking about his career and some of the highlights from it. We're Drunk Wrestling History. You can find us on Twitter at the X, wrestling_drunk. Download our show wherever you find your other podcasts at, because we are Drunk Wrestling History. We're not always accurate, but we are always drunk, and we will all be at the meetup as well.
Oh, also, Brian from the Legendary Podcast just started listening to Drunk Wrestling History, and he loves it.
You get the Scott Working Blue version of Scott.
Oh, big time. Oh, big time.
Yes. Yeah, a little bit different.
Also, Steve Hoker over at T Public. His store name is Starman NJ. All proceeds do go to a charity at the end of the month. Steve will make the donation. Whatever money goes into the store goes right back out to a charity. Steve chooses the charity each month and then he donates. So again, that's Starman NJ on T Public. By the way, you need to start watching Ted.
Yeah.
What?
Well, we started watching, Behind the Attraction.
Behind the Attraction?
That show on the Disney Channel or Disney Plus, whatever it's called.
Oh, I don't have Disney Plus.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a deep dive into like your iconic Disney rides.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, for example, last night we watched Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, that's cool. But in Ted, they're talking about doing a Pornsy scheme.
Pornsy?
Pornsy scheme.
So like Ponzi, but with porn?
Pornsy, yeah.
Ponzi, got it.
Yeah, because they lost a tape and they said, so what do we do if we can't find the tape? And they go, well, we'll have to rent the same porno from another rental place and then take it back to the first rental place. And we have to do that till the end of time. It's like a Ponzi scheme.
Brilliant.
Oh, it's so funny, dude. I love that show.
How do you explain that to somebody that wasn't around at that time? That there was like specifically a section of a video, like you would go into a store to rent video cassettes.
Well, have you told Peyton about it?
About porn tapes? No.
No, no, no. Oh, you're talking. No, I'm talking about like walking into a Blockbuster, just doing a regular rental.
Yeah, I mean, that is like mind blowing enough trying to explain that to somebody that wasn't around at that time. But then to explain to them that there was a separate room reserved for adults only, that a lot of times, at least in the video stores around us, was sectioned off by long beads that went from ceiling to floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of walked through the beads, which I'm like, that's like Pavlov's dogs. Like you hear that sound, you know exactly where they're going, and everybody's head in the store turns around like, who's walking through the beads? Like, there was no slick way to do it. Every time you tried to even be quiet walking through the beads, they'd clack behind you.
Oh, the meaty clackers. That was hilarious.
The meaty clackers. Look at that perv going to rent some porn.
I bet he's doing a Pornsy scheme.
Yeah, God forbid you lost one of those tapes, dude.
All right. Enough of that. Enough of the jibber jabber. We got to go. Scott, for episode 426, anything else?
Stay safe. Stay healthy. Big life since 2016, and happy toy hunting.
I want to thank everybody for listening to episode 426. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Yeah. Fully possible. Let's go! Jeff and Scott, the Tomb Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, M.O.C. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.